Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. It's a new month. It's May 1st, 2018, and we are glad that you have joined us today for our Trends article. And I have two panelists here to help me discuss this topic. First, welcome Linda.
Thank you. It's great to be here. We're discussing one of my favorite topics as well.
Yes, food. I like to talk about food, as I've already mentioned. We also have Simon here. Welcome, Simon.
Thank you, Brandon. And this is our trends article. I like trends and food, so doubly happy today.
All right. Well, we're talking about how food trends are born. And, I don't really think about food trends. I just go to a restaurant, and if I see something new, Linda, I may get it or I may not get it. Sometimes I'm afraid to try something new because I may not like it.
Never be afraid to try anything new. I usually try something that I don't feel I can make myself when I go out.
That's a good thing to do. But sometimes if you go to a restaurant that you love a dish there, you're afraid to change it because you may not like
that is true.
Dish as much.
Sometimes when I go to a certain restaurant, I always associate something I've had there before that I love. So I do tend to go back and order that over again and over again.
Yes.
And over again.
Yeah, because sometimes you don't love a dish, so when you find one you love, you want to get that at that restaurant. But it is good to try new things, and that's what this article is all about. What's new in food? And what does our deck say, Linda?
It says, from exotic spices to new appliances, discover what's happening in the food industry. And it's pretty exciting what's going on.
It is exciting. And we have a word there, exotic. When I think of exotic, I think of going to some tropical location, maybe for vacation. What does it mean here when we're talking about exotic spices, Linda?
Well, when you're talking about exotic in food terms, it just means something that you're not really used to, that comes from a faraway land.
Okay. And we're also talking about a new appliance. On day three, we will talk about that. The first 2 days, though, we are talking about food trends. And do you normally follow food trends, Simon?
To a certain extent, because when you're in a restaurant, you end up seeing new things and giving them a try. But I don't usually follow trends with appliances. And so that's kind of a new thing here for me.
All right. Yeah, I don't usually follow that either because I rarely cook at home. So I don't need
that's a good reason not to.
All right, we do have a caption there with a picture that talks about kale and quinoa. Now, we're talking about trends, and that is something that has kind of taken off in recent years, quinoa, right?
Right. I had a niece who worked in the food industry with, like, whole foods and natural foods, and she said it must be maybe 10 years ago now, she remembers that her boss came back from South America with a pocket full of quinoa to try to show to people and, you know, have them be interested in it. And then within 2 or 3 years, they were shipping in truckloads of it because it's such a healthy food.
It is healthy. It has a good taste as well. It doesn't really have too much of a taste, I would say. But it's just, it feels healthy. Do you ever eat something and you just know that it's healthy for you? Right?
you feel the cleanness.
Yeah, you just feel it like it's cleaning your body. Like salmon is like that for me.
I want to say, though, for all our listeners out there, this word quinoa, it is a weird word.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's the spelling is nothing like the pronunciation of the word. So don't feel bad at all.
Because it's not an English word.
That's right.
Yeah. I always want to mispronounce it. I'm like, how do you say that again? Because it is something that's fairly new. It's been around now for a few years. But if you're not used to it, it's easy to mispronounce that. But quinoa actually is the seeds of a plant, a South American plant. And you cook that and you eat it and I think you basically use that as a substitute for rice.
That's what I'm doing right now. You know, quinoa has protein in it. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's considered so healthy. Yeah. And yeah, you can use it like for rice or in North America, a lot of people eat potatoes as their base for a food.
Yes.
They eat anything
like
that.
Oh, I love potatoes.
Is it a cereal? Like a grain?
It's a grain, sort of like a grain. It's a grain. It's a seed, but when you eat it, it feels like you're eating a grain, basically.
You can buy it in a lot of different places now in Taipei City.
That's right. Well, we also mentioned kale here, which we're going to talk a lot about today, at least at the beginning. That's a type of cabbage. It's usually green, maybe sometimes purple, and they use that in salads. You can also just use it as a vegetable, as a side dish or something like that, but most of the time I think we see it in salads in North America. So let's get into our article. We have a lot to talk about today. We are on page 10, so please follow along with us as we have our first reading.
What's new in food? From exotic spices to new appliances, discover what's happening in the food industry. How food trends are born. Kale has had quite a run. Less than a decade ago, the leafy green vegetable was used primarily for decoration on salad bars. Now kale, known for its health benefits, is so ubiquitous that even McDonald's uses it in salads. There are kale chips and kale crackers, and its appearance on Midwestern restaurant menus has soared nearly 1,300% over the last 4 years, according to Data Central, a Chicago-based food data firm. Za'atar, a Middle Eastern spice blend, may not be as familiar to many Americans, but it plays a starring role in one of the salads Starbucks recently rolled out in Chicago as part of its new lunch menu. As Americans increasingly demand exotic flavors, spices like za'atar are expected to become more common on menus.
All right, well, we start off talking about kale, which we've discussed already, and the first sentence says, kale has had quite a run. What does that mean, Simon?
Well, usually when you say something's had quite a run, you're talking about it having, I guess, an interesting and long story or maybe a career. Mm. And so it's a little odd to describe kale as having a run. Usually we talk about people having a run, but I guess the idea is the same, that kale has had quite an experience in popularity, I guess.
I wonder if they use that term here because kale has been around for a very, very long time. I mean, you know, it's a plant, and a vegetable that we've had, but it didn't become popular until, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or so in the States in particular. And so then it really just took off and you can find it everywhere,
yes.
You know, in regular grocery stores, not just organic food stores. So the increase in popularity and how it stayed that way probably is what they're emphasizing here.
And in the past, it was used as a decoration, we see, on
salad
bars. And I think I remember that. I didn't know that was kale. I just knew there was some leafy green vegetable used there for decoration. And, you know, kale has that kind of quality. It's very thick. You know, thicker than most other leafy greens. And so you can understand maybe why they would use it for that. But now people eat it. It's become very popular and it has many health benefits. And they have a word here to describe how popular it is. It's everywhere, right?
Ubiquitous. That's right. And so when you say something's ubiquitous, you just mean it's become very common and it's all over the place.
You know it's common when McDonald's is using it.
I know. I was so shocked that McDonald's uses it in its salads. But McDonald's also is trying to change its image because, you know, it's known for fast food and unhealthy food, and they have started to introduce a lot of a whole range of different kinds of salads and, you know, foods that people would consider to be healthy.
Yeah, which is good because although you may want fast food, you may want something healthy, if at all possible, especially if you eat out a lot.
And they also tell us that there are all kinds of different ways you can get kale. Kale in chips, kale in crackers, and that's, I suppose, a thing that happens a lot with food trends, right? When a new flavor or fruit or vegetable kind of becomes popular, it tends to appear in everything.
Yeah, it made me think of like seaweed crackers that are very common in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't think we have seaweed crackers, but we do have, you know, pieces of seaweed.
Well, or even pumpkin spice was like the popular flavor.
For the fall,
That's what I was thinking. In North America, that's everywhere. I think I've even heard that they have it in dog food.
Can't leave your best friend out.
People have gone crazy about pumpkin. Well, we talk about a section of the United States here. We're talking about the Midwest, which, Linda, you're familiar with that area.
Yes, I'm from the Midwest. The state that I'm from is considered to be located there. It says here the north central United States from Ohio to the Rocky Mountains in the west. So that would take you from the middle, actually the very middle of America, all the way over to the edge of Montana where it borders Idaho. Right. And I'm from Minnesota, so really we're smack dab in the middle of it. That word smack dab.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle, yes.
There you go. So the appearance of kale on Midwestern restaurant menus has soared nearly 1,300%. So, Simon, if something soars, it just takes off, right?
It rises very quickly. And so,
think of an eagle soaring, right?
That's right. You can find these things everywhere now. I actually thought it was interesting that they started talking about the Midwest in here, because usually you don't think of the Midwest as being a very trendy area for things like food, right?
Well, I want to point out that the person writing this is writing for the Chicago Tribune, which is, you know, Chicago's in the Midwest. So,
yes.
But I was going to say the very same thing, Simon. Yeah, the Midwest is the last place that people think the trends start.
Yeah.
And it is the last place trends start.
But that's why she's focusing in on this, I'm sure, because she's from the Chicago area, which is in the Midwest. So that makes sense.
I guess it also shows how far these trends have spread in sort of popular culture, right?
Well, I think because the Midwest is really the breadbasket of America, so it's a big farming area and, you know, very, very traditional in food in particular is what we think.
That's right. And next, so we've been talking about kale, but next we're going to talk about a Middle Eastern spice blend, and it's called za'atar. And it may not be as familiar to many Americans. Actually, I've never heard of this. Linda or Simon, have you heard of this before?
Never. But I'm not American, so that's not surprising at all.
You're not Middle Eastern either.
Yeah, so. That's right.
I hadn't heard of it either, but I was talking to a group of my friends last night, and one woman in there really likes to cook and kind of stays up with things, and she said that she had heard of it. Because I didn't even say it right or spell it right. She's like, oh, you mean this? And she said that she ordered, well, I looked up what is in this spice. So it's a lot of, most of the spices I actually have in my house, the combination of them. If you want to make some of these, you think they're interesting, you can actually look up the recipe online for the spices in them.
Yeah.
There are several different sites that tell you what you can combine together
just
to make the
yourself.
Spice. The one spice that, she actually ordered from the state so she could make this is sumac, which is kind of a lemon-flavored spice, and you can't find that, and I've never seen it around Asia.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, you know, it has sesame seeds in it. It has cumin in it, which is an Indian spice.
Mm-hmm.
It has oregano in it, which we think of as an Italian spice more. So, you know, it's a nice combination. So if you're interested in making this spice, you know, you can just look it up online.
Yeah. And it's become popular enough, though, that even Starbucks is using
that's
this,
so
right?
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that's not really as surprising as the McDonald's kale salad.
True.
Though, because,
that's true.
You know, you tend to, Starbucks obviously comes from Seattle, and so you tend to think of that as a more trendy area where, you know, if you want to survive, you got to follow the trends. So I'm not too surprised by Starbucks' use of the latest, most popular thing.
But it went from Seattle to Chicago.
That's
they rolled it out in Chicago, which means that they made a new product available for the first time, and not in Seattle. That first started in Chicago.
And it plays a starring role there. So they rolled it out. It's a starring role. There's a lot going on with this spice in Starbucks in Chicago. And it's a part of the new lunch menu there. And next we see Americans are demanding exotic flavors. And, you know, there's a lot of food in America, but people in America love to eat just as they do in many other countries. And so they want something different, right? They want some exotic flavors.
So if you go into a restaurant, Brandon, and you're afraid to try something new, think about what you're going to be missing.
Yes. Or sometimes you are thankful
That you did miss it?
You did miss it.
I don't know. I kind of feel that way too, but it's not that I'm afraid to try new foods. It's that I'm afraid to pay for
something you don't
like.
There you have it.
You know, so if they have, this is an important thing. If you're an owner of a restaurant out there, remember, samples are good if you want people to buy the new thing.
Yeah, and I think it depends on if it falls in a category that I know, you know, maybe I would like. Like, if I like spicy food, and I see this burger on page 11, this Asian-style salmon burger, I would definitely try that, because I like salmon, and that spicy mayo sounds delicious. So that's not something I've had necessarily, but I would definitely try that,
pictures,
because it fits into the category. And, yeah, the picture looks... It makes it look appetizing. Of course, that's what it's supposed to do, right? Okay, so anyway, Americans, they want some of these exotic flavors, and some of these flavors, or spices rather, are expected to become more common on menus because there is a big demand for it. But why is all of this so popular? Why are these trends being set? We'll find out about that in our next reading.
Why so popular? Identifying up-and-coming food trends is equal parts art and science, and it's a process that some in the food industry pay a lot of attention to. The Cronut went from nothing to Time magazine in no time. Others peak and fall off, said Stacy Sopinka, Vice President of Innovation and Product Development at U.S. Foods, a food distributor. Food trends are influenced by a wide range of factors, from fashion and pop culture to health fads. They're sometimes created by chefs, often in the world of fine dining, and then mimicked and repurposed by other restaurateurs. Sometimes it's a consultant or distributor working with a big brand to develop a product that fills menu holes for a food company, whether it be a new beverage or a salad topping. The trends are monitored by companies that measure, track, and report on them, making it easier for other companies to jump on the bandwagon. Data Central calls that pattern the menu adoption cycle.
All right, so we are asking a question. Why is this so popular, or why are these things so popular? Well, we are identifying up-and-coming food trends. That is a good word to know, up-and-coming, Simon.
Yep, that's right. Up-and-coming means quickly becoming popular.
That's right. So we're trying to identify these trends that are becoming popular, and it's equal parts art and science. I like the way they put that, Linda. There's art involved, and there's also science.
Well, you know, you want your food to be attractive. Half of what they say makes food enjoyable is the appearance of it, the way it looks, because then it, you know, attracts you to try it as well.
Right.
And the science part of it is combining the flavors together to, you know, make it as tasty as possible. So I think, you know, it's a good explanation.
It's interesting, though, because this reading doesn't really give you a good answer to the question that we have as the subtitle, right? Why so popular? Basically, the answer here is we're not really sure, or maybe it's very complicated.
I think right? It's very complicated. She does give like maybe several reasons that she perceives why it's so popular, or why food trends happen.
And to me, the science part is also, like, we talk about the cycle and what all goes into it. And I think of, like, you know, marketing and how businesses are involved and, you know, how they study that, how they study what people want and do surveys and so forth. Maybe that's all involved as well in the science component. So it's a process that some in the food industry pay a lot of attention to, of course, because they want to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then we get an example here, the Cronut. What is a Cronut, Simon?
Well, a Cronut, basically it's two words sort of mixed together. The first word is croissant, which of course is kind of a buttery, soft, light bread thing, and donut, which, you know, is everybody's favorite sweet circle.
Yes.
Right. Oh, Simon.
There's a little Chinglish there for you.
Yeah. Freshly made donuts.
That's right. So basically what this is a croissant that's made into a donut.
My stomach is growling now just thinking about donuts. I love donuts. I haven't tried cronuts too often. I should probably try more. Anyway, it says the cronut went from nothing to Time magazine in no time. I like the way they put that. Of course, Time magazine is a very popular magazine. And so if something makes the cover of Time magazine, Linda, people usually pay attention.
Yeah, and they also read the article about it, and it draws a great deal of interest, because if it's going to be on the cover of Time magazine, then it's kind of made it to the top.
Yes.
So it's going to draw a lot of attention.
But sometimes when a food makes it to a certain point, it falls off. We see here other foods or maybe trends, they peak and then they fall off. And we can think of, you know, many trends are like that. You know, something's very trendy for a while, and then it kind of goes out of style, right?
Honestly, most of them we've probably never heard of, the food trends.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I first moved to Taipei, I had a friend who was from Taipei, and we were in a 7-Eleven one day, and he sort of made this comment about how tomato was like the hot food of the season.
Oh, I remember that.
And
tomato juice.
You know, I had never even noticed, but it was true. You know, tomato-flavored stuff was everywhere at that time, and it was just kind of this flavor of the season. But I would never have noticed it if he hadn't pointed it out. So some trends are like that, right, where it's sort of like being pushed at you, but you just don't really notice it and start using it. And so that's, you know, what's happening when we say something peaks and then falls off.
Right. And there are also many things that can influence a food trend. And we discuss that in the next paragraph. What do they tell us, Linda?
Well, it says that there's a wide range of factors that influence food trends. I think this is so interesting. Fashion and pulp culture to health fads. I usually see it in health fads, and a fad is like an activity or interest that's very popular for a period of time. So it comes and it goes. We usually talk about fads when we're talking about clothing.
Yeah, and pop culture, I guess, makes sense. Whatever's popular in culture, they try to fill those gaps or give you some items that you would enjoy based upon the current culture.
Right. That's why I wonder if kale had... Well, not had, but became so popular because of the hipsters in the Midwest, you know.
What is a hipster?
Well, it's kind of a modern hippie.
There you go.
But it's a group of young people. They have a certain lifestyle, kind of not really, kind of a little bit counterculture.
Yeah, they don't go along with the mainstream.
Right. And they all shop at like Whole Foods very into health food.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I can think of a whole bunch of other factors, too, in addition to these two, like things like price and availability of the food. Like, so, for example, we've been talking a lot lately, well, not us talking, but the media has been talking a lot lately about how there aren't going to be enough avocados. You're right. That's another vegetable that's been very popular, and there's a problem getting enough avocados to meet demand. And so that'll affect price. For example, other things might include like testability, like your ability to try it out before you pay for it, you know, things like that. So a lot of different factors will go into whether or not people really adopt and start regularly using these foods.
Right. They also say fashion can affect food trends. I don't really understand that one. Maybe you
I don't
give
think
us
that
insight.
Has to do with clothing. Yeah. I think fashion means what's in style to eat.
Okay.
So you don't want to be like out of style when you go out to lunch with your friends and they order like very trendy foods and you're like, okay, I'll just have a burger and fries.
Ooh,
you
that
know?
Sounds good too, though.
Okay, because you're a guy.
You know, you do get things like colors of the season, right? Like within fashion and stuff like that might affect the kinds of ways that you're presenting food pictures, things like that in magazines. So you might get more exposure to foods that fit a certain look or have a certain color type.
Well, if I'm wearing a white shirt, I probably don't want to go eat pasta with red sauce. That's
or
all
chicken.
I know.
Right. Because you know it's going to splash every time.
Yes, it does. All right. Well, sometimes these trends come about as because of chefs. If that makes sense, right? They're trying out new things. They're inspired and they want to try something new. And, you know, so these chefs, They are actually copied. We have a word here called mimicked. And if you mimic someone, you copy them. And we also have another word here, repurposed. What does that mean, Simon?
Well, it basically means something is used for a reason other than the reason you normally use it for. So a good example of this actually is the whole pumpkin spice thing, where to me, pumpkin spice lattes taste like basically like pumpkin pie. And so it's
I love pumpkin pie. You've taken
the taste from pumpkin pie and you've put it into a latte or a cookie or something like that. So that's repurposing it. You're not just using it in the thing it was originally used for.
And who is doing this? Who are we talking about?
Well, it's people that manage your own restaurants. And, you know, I think it's because fall, especially in the United States, is like such a popular time of year, and there's a lot associated with fall. People want to keep that feeling. So like apple spice and pumpkin spice lattes. We don't really have that in Asia, but if you go to the States, you're right, it's in everything. And so people in the restaurant industry have, you know, expanded upon how many ways they can use it.
All right. So chefs, they're creating this and people copy them and so forth. And then also consultants or distributors, they are working with these big brands. And of course, they want to develop products and fill menu holes. What kind of holes are in the menu, Simon?
Well, basically, a good example of that would be something like McDonald's, where when we think about McDonald's, we think about hamburgers and French fries, but we don't really think about healthy foods.
Like kale salad?
Yeah. So in the past, before introducing its kale salad, you would have said that the McDonald's menu has a hole, which means something is missing. And basically, that would have been the healthy food.
All right. Next, we see the trends are monitored by companies that actually track all of this, and they report on it. And so other companies will see that report, and they will say, hey, that looks good. I want to jump on the bandwagon.
That just means that you want to also get involved in that activity that is really successful so that you can also benefit from it.
All right. Well, Dan Essential calls that pattern the menu adoption cycle, which we are going to talk much more about tomorrow. And we're going to take you through this cycle. We hope you will join us for day two of our trends article. Until then, this is Brandon,
Simon,
and Linda
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.